48. The Lonely Journey.
Those that dedicate themselves to the gathering of these beasts will become unrivaled. None will prevail against them.
From Colvernar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, end note. Amundel could not rest after the codger disappeared from the grotto. His sorrow and anxiety over the dragon's arrival spurred his imagination. The roar of beating wings carried into the icy grotto but soon faded. That's three groups, he thought. The codger claimed there would be four. While he waited for the last set of dragons, the conjured gosset began to succumb to the frigid temperature. But Amundel ignored the pain. Ever since his waking from that dreaded nightmare, his conjuration's afflictions felt distant, almost like a faint buzz one could barely discern. The gosset wobbled and then collapsed. It refused to move, and Amundel felt his bond with it fading. Perhaps when I get home I can find an incantation for icebergs in the family tomes. But he hadn't recalled such an incantation while skimming greater conjurations from the Aldenall Plain. Eventually his thoughts turned to the codger's promise of a rescue. But when would that vessel arrive? From what he had gleaned throughout the expedition, the council planned on them traveling to Tartalum and then back to the shore and finally sailing home. It'll be months before they come, he whispered. But what of the Mindalorneans? Surely they would send a fourth expedition. They might even arrive before the council's rescue. But all that was speculation. Closing his eyes, Amundel thought of his journey across the wastes. With dragons roaming about, he would have to stay hidden. Perhaps I can hide in those mountains we came across. But then there was the matter of reaching them. True, he could travel invisibly, but he would leave tracks in the snow. He pulled the anchoring tevisrol from his pocket and studied the black disk. If only the gossets were not so feeble. But they were his best option. The birds could carry the anchoring tevisrol to any crevasse or cave. Then he and Fench could teleport to the new hiding spot. He turned the shanak in his fingers, studying its smooth surface. Shanak is undoubtedly your draconic name, so what would you be called in common? He considered the object's nature, then smiled. Conjuration Anchor. That's what I'll name you. No sooner had the thought come to him than hunger pangs struck. So he opened a portal to the Vizierm expanse, and the makeshift bag the earthen conjurations had packed fell onto the icy floor, rattling as it landed. With the portal open, Amundel felt his friend's anguish. I will save you all. I promise. Their pain lingered until he shut the portal. He woke Fench, and together they ate a cold meal. Once they were finished, Amundel put the bag back in the Vizierm expanse. He left a few things out, though. A blanket for him and Fench, as well as some dried meat they could eat as snacks. Hopefully Fench won't try to steal mine. Eventually, that fourth wave of dragons sped past the icy grotto. Amundel had begun conjuring another gosset from the Aldenall Plain when the codger returned. His presence made Fench tremble, and the winged creature dropped his dried meat.
This time you have to follow my every instruction, said the codger. No deviations.
The next 2 days were uneventful, at least what Amundel called days. For all he knew, 3 or 4 days could have passed since the sun hardly moved overhead. The mountain of Tartalum had since disappeared beyond the horizon. If the old codger hadn't led him, Amundel would have used the mountain to keep his heading true. Even after the mountain vanished, he hadn't needed a compass. The old codger kept Amundel on course, guiding him to grottos identical to where he had taken shelter after fleeing Tartalum. While he and Fench broke for their second meal of the supposed third day, a sprawling mountain range rose ahead of the gosset. I didn't think we were that close, he said, scratching his beard. It was growing too long. I'll look like a wild man before I return home. They teleported twice before reaching the mountain's foothills. Finch complained of hunger, and Amandal decided to break once more, in a shallow cavity beside a boulder. While they ate, the codger told Amandal that he would be staying in the mountains for a while. Their shelter would keep him safe from the dragons and a coming storm. It would also afford him opportunities to expand his menagerie. Once they finished, Amandal and Finch watched the sun. It moved farther through the sky now, but it never dipped below the horizon. That night, the codger led Amandal's gosset to a small cavern in the mountainside. There, they set up camp and slept. For many days, they meandered through the mountains, traveling through caves and high valleys. They encountered more of the moth-like Veliasim in tunnels Amandal assumed belonged to a chrysalac. He hoped to encounter one of those mythical beasts, but their dens were long abandoned, or so the codger claimed. On his second week in the mountains, he and Finch stumbled across large footprints in the snow. Belonging to a Yeltis, he thought. The tracks led to a cave, and Amandal conjured an Aldenal copy of his only cistern. Sure enough, two full-grown Yeltis were hibernating deep inside. Careful not to repeat the mistake of charging into their den, Amandal set a trap and lured the beasts to him. Unfortunately for the Yeltis, two earthen gargantuans were too much for them. The colossal conjurations hurled the beasts into the Vizirm expanse. Once the Yeltis den was cleared, Amandal and Finch settled in for several days. The codger hadn't bothered them, and the storm had finally arrived. With the storm raging, Amandal decided to rest. It wasn't until a day after the storm that they began moving again. Finch had found a small crystallized passageway that led to a vast network of caves not unlike the caverns outside Tardalim. The passageway was too small for Amandal, so he sent Finch through with the conjuration anchor. They spent several days exploring those tunnels and their adjoining caverns, searching for anything of value. Beast and Tevisrol alike. Amandal hoped to come across a chrysalac, but nothing lived in the tunnels. Eventually, the codger returned and guided them through winding paths that led deeper and deeper below ground. Amandal assumed they were still in the mountains, until a winding tunnel brought them to a frigid plain.
"You're nearly halfway to the shore," the codger said. "Those platinum beasts have stopped patrolling the skies, so you should be safe."
He turned, pointing to what was Amandal's left.
"Over there you'll find a pack of cisterns. Capture them, then make your way north."
He pointed to the right of the tunnel.
"There is another warder's grotto not far from here."
As the codger predicted, there was a pack of cistern upon the snowy plains. But their number was greater than Amandal had expected. 28, he thought, watching from atop the crest of a snowdrift. "So many pretties." Finch wriggled his trunk.
"They don't look pretty."
"We're going to need a perch," Amandal said, stroking his unkempt beard. He decided upon an earthen giant, but no sooner had the conjuration emerged than the pack rounded on him. Luckily, the conjuration lifted him before the cisterns reached the snowdrift. Finch, of course, fluttered into the air. Amandal captured the entire pack quickly. Once they reached the icy grotto, they settled in for the night. Another day passed, and no caves marked the plains beyond the mountains. The winds picked up, and Amandal conjured two earthen gargantuans to block out the frigid gusts. It was still cold, so he conjured a magma elemental to provide warmth. He thought he might need to dismiss the three conjurations before he and Finch teleported, but he managed to move them all. Evening drew near as the sun dipped closer to the horizon in the east, but the western sky didn't darken completely. Amandal began to grow tired, but still no shelter had been found. He studied the gargantuans and considered their dilemma. Finch would probably be fine, but sleeping on the plain would be too cold for Amandal. I'll have to sacrifice one of you for shelter, he said to the gargantuans. They teleported once more, and then he killed one of the colossal creatures. Once the bond with it was severed, he summoned two giants and five regular-sized earthen creatures and went to work building the shelter from the felled earthen gargantuan. The interior was the size of a small room, but shaped like a bean. His conjurations patched holes with snow, and the results soon resembled a snow-covered mound. Finch marveled at Amandal's ingenuity, zipping in and out of their shelter. But there was still the matter of keeping warm. Amandal searched the remaining rubble and found several flat rocks that were partly bowed. "Take those inside," he commanded the small conjurations. Then he pointed to the magma elemental. "And kill that." The small conjurations laid the flat pieces at both ends of the shelter and returned with chunks of molten magma. They set the molten chunks on a flat rock, which began to warm the shelter's interior. While the conjurations continued reinforcing the shelter with snow, Amandal arranged the interior, placing his bedding atop a flat slab. Once the inside was finished, Amandal had the conjurations roll a boulder in front of the entrance. He dismissed the still-living elementals and retrieved some belongings from the Bezirm expanse. Finch fell asleep soon after they ate, but Amandal struggled to get comfortable. It was plenty warm, the pieces of the magma elemental still smoldering. But the journey was wearing on him. He longed for Felinia and his friends. Tears filled his eyes as he imagined Felinia succumbing to that wretched Orethisian. "If only we hadn't come," he thought. His frustration turned to Bayam. If it hadn't been for her, Felinia and his friends would still be alive. "Damned Mandalorians." He tossed, facing the blocked entrance. A faint wind howled through a crack. His anger simmered and his thoughts returned to Felinia. How he longed to run his hands through her golden curls and gaze into those incredible eyes. Fatigue soon crept upon him, and he felt sleep drawing near. As he drifted into slumber, Felinia's smiling face greeted him, and her beauty took his breath away. "I miss you," he murmured. She bit her lower lip and reached for his face. Amandal thought he felt her long fingers upon his cheek. Her touch was so vivid, but it couldn't be real. Felinia was gone, and Amandal was alone. After waking from nightmares of perpetual death, Amandal dismissed the makeshift shelter, sending the bits and pieces back to the Aldenal plain. Partway through the day, he and Finch discovered a shallow gorge, no more than 3 stories deep, lined with long icicles. "Better than nothing," he said. "At least it'll shield us from the wind." He sent another gosset flying as Finch fluttered along the icicles. They found shelter in another icy grotto that evening, but the next 2 days Amandal had to summon more earthen gargantuans to make camp. Faint trumpeting roused Amandal from his slumber. He looked about the makeshift shelter and strained his hearing. The trumpeting grew louder, its tones both joyous and playful. "Penguins?" He hurried from his bedding, shook Finch awake, and then darted to a crack at the shelter's blocked entrance. A line of black moved down a nearby snowdrift.
"What is that?"
Finch asked. Amandal smiled. "A wattle of penguins. And I think you'll enjoy them." He summoned an earthen giant and removed the boulder barring the entrance. As the black line drew near, the individual penguins became discernible. To Amandal's surprise, there were smaller creatures among them. The chicks? Felinia had mentioned something of chicks upon their first encounter.
"You should follow them," the codger suggested.
Amandal spun around to find the old man standing atop the snow, but he made no footprints.
"Are we close to the shore?"
The codger nodded, a sly grin spreading across his face as he disappeared. Amandal turned back to the entrance, watching the penguins approach.
"Best we tear this down."
The wattle of penguins didn't seem the least bit bothered by Amandal or the dismissal of the elemental remains. Many of the larger penguins trumpeted what Amandal thought was a greeting. Several of the chicks hurried toward Amandal and Fench, running awkwardly with their wings spread behind them.
"They're small,"
Fench said, fluttering toward the chicks now gathered around Amandal.
"They have weird wings."
"Their wings don't work," Amandal said. "Felinia said they're flightless birds. They use those fins to swim in the water." Fench shook his head, his trunk flapping back and forth. The gesture made the chicks trumpet an odd noise. Deep trumpeting carried from the wattle, and the chicks hurried away.
"Well, let's follow them," Amandal said. "A pity Felinia isn't here. She would have loved to see this."
The penguins were good company. Fench played with the smaller ones as they walked. Amandal, however, held a one-sided conversation with a trumpeting penguin. He supposed the bird probably thought its conversation was one-sided.
"Yes," Amandal said, patting the penguin on the head, "I quite agree."
The bird seemed to enjoy that.
"I find this patch of snow quite nice, too. It's probably the best on this icy rock."
He raised his chin in mock appraisal. Their path took them in a direction which Amandal supposed was northwest, but it veered to the north in the mid-afternoon. As the sun began to dip toward the east, the penguins kept walking. Amandal had expected them to rest, but the birds kept marching through the night. They occasionally stopped for short durations, but then resumed waddling across the snow. Near noon the following day, the horizon began to change. A dark blue line appeared, dividing the sky from the frozen ground.
"The ocean!" Amandal cried, moving away from the penguins. "Fench, we made it!"
Feeling as if a weight had lifted from his shoulders, Amandal ran. His hasty flight startled the penguins, and several trumpeted in alarm. Fench fluttered beside him, and together they hurried across the snowy plain and toward the edge of a cliff.
No, the ice shelf.
Jumbled shouts blew on the wind. To a normal man, they would probably have sounded like nonsense, but Amandal parsed orders for adjusting a rigging. He quickened his pace, and more of the ocean became visible, as did a large four-masted vessel sailing half a grand finial from the icy coastline. The vessel's white sails bore no emblem, but atop its tallest mast waved the green flag of the Principality of Sarath.